yesterday, and just raising the question of the responsibility that an owner has, a balabas, you know, the boss has, if he goes back on the deal. If he hires workers and he pulls out, so our Mishnah tells us that he's not obligated to pay anything, they're just allowed to be angry at him. But the working assumption seems to be that they're able to find another job. And if they're not able to find another job, so then things get a lot more complicated. And we saw yesterday, we started to discuss that the email from the Beis Avad that discussed the issue of somebody who hired a car or a taxi to take him somewhere, and then he realizes he can get a free ride. So does he have the right to pull out? And I didn't miss anything, we're just recapping. So he has the right to pull out. So the assumption being that if the driver can't find another ride, can't find another person to take, so then that becomes a problem. He may have to pay them. That's the psak in Shulchan Aruch, that a worker will have to be paid by the owner, by the balabas, by the employer, if he's not able to find something else. So as I mentioned yesterday, I should say a little bit more clearly that even though this topic is a little bit off the dot, essentially, our Gemara doesn't directly consider this case. Our Gemara talks about a point where you've done, started to do the job, or at least you've started on its way. You've traveled, so halchu. That's what the Gemara invokes as a point where there's essentially no return for the employer. So this Tosfos, which is very important to this whole topic, Tosfos that I invoke these days, is important on a lot of levels. It's a relatively brief Tosfos, but it's relevant on a lot of levels, because first of all, through kind of the back door, he introduces this psak of the Shulchan Aruch, what would later be the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that situation changes if they can't find other work. And he also, in the same breath, tells us an important chiddush that the din of halchu is really a version of that. I mentioned yesterday that a question you could kind of keep in mind, and we'll expand on this, is the question of what is the nature of Sefiras Poelim in general? Is this a din in the Torah, a parsha in the Torah that has all kinds of rules that come along with it? Or is it just really a collection of different dinim that get triggered? Contracts and deals and promises and mazik and whatever else, and kinyanim, that all happen to come together. So if we know, for example, there is a din of holchu, that after a certain point, the Baal Bas is not allowed to go back, is that because that begins a new stage of their status? They're now considered to be his workers, and therefore there are certain rules that go along with that? Or is it simply a function of other details, which this Tosfos seems to suggest, the second way? So if you just want to look at Tosfos together, and then we'll plug this back into our discussion. So the Mishnah says there's no Tarum, there's nothing other than Tarumis. So Tosfos says over here, I'm above my base, Kashulareed, Hakamalantri Meir, the Dawing did the Garmi by Gozal Kama. So Tosfos' premise is that, what do you mean there's no Fee of Mammon? There should be a Fee of Mammon, because there is a loss that's being caused here, which Tosfos is assuming is a liability-causing loss. And we'll talk more about that in a second. Simkein amayla yitim hem kapal batal, so therefore they should have to be paid, at least like a worker who's twiddling their thumbs. Kevan shal yago nisbatlu oso hayo, because since it's his fault that they lost that day. So yishlomar, b'mayri kishachozer bo, so therefore Tosfos introduces this clause that the assumption is that they can still find a way to get a job. And if not, taki, you're right, then the Mishnah is essentially wrong. When the Mishnah says that there's no fee of mammon, there's only tairumis, that's assuming this crucial clause that they can get another job. But if not, then it's more than tairumis, there's a fee of mammon, and that's the psak the Shulchan Aruch has in Shin Lamed Gimel Beis. So, but if they can find a job in good, we call Makom Mishloach Tarumis Sha'at Al Yimsu Eliyadei Torah, because of the Torah. That's Tosfos is invoking of the reason for Tarumis. That was what we discussed a little bit last week, the difference as far as for what the Tarumis is based on. Tarumis as its own concept, what is that drawn? So that's Torah is the most popular you and the Rishonim, there were a few others as well, but that was the most popular reason cited, that the fact that it's a tircha bothers them. So we came after the Samach, Bein v'holfu, Chamarim v'holfu, u'matzah sadalacha. So this distinction the Gemara is eventually going to bring up about holfu, having matzah the flugi af below holfu, wow. You could also have made this point, made this distinction even without holfu. Bein yecholim olus daker, bein chozerbo, achar shalom matzah olus daker. So this same point you could use as a distinction that's offered later on in the Gemara. When the Gemara says holfu is the cutoff point, you could just as easily say the cutoff point is, can they find other work, could they not find other work? So, Elo, or could the Milsa Naka just use the more common example, the Baha'u'ful, lo Shriyav, Shiyimtsu, all the Histachir. The Imbohu'ful, Mustavik, Shavol, Achsa, Chosen, Miad, Gro, Shiyimtsu, Histachir. So basically, Tosa says that essentially this din that we're talking about today, this din which is kind of off the daf, what about if they can't find other work? So Tosus is introducing it into the daf and basically saying that is the din that we have of holfu. So the whole question of what the significance is of having started the job, says Tosus, it's simply the same point, that whatever the chiv is that the Shulchan Aruch tells us exists, if they can't find other work, is the same thing the chiv the Gemara talks about if they've already started the job, because they both have the same likely consequence that at that point they're not going to have an easy time getting a salary for that day because they committed to you. So we started off discussing what exactly is the nature of this chiyuv in light of the fact that we normally do not obligate somebody to pay for causing somebody to lose out on profit, which you could phrase a lot of different ways. Manias reva, holding back profit. The fact, let's say, the Yerushalmi talks about if you close somebody's store and lock it up so they can't earn their money. So normally that's considered to be a grama, it's considered to be causative, and we don't make you pay. So why is this different? That's the question all the Rishonim have to try to figure out. And yesterday we also mentioned that there are among the Rishonim those who find it to be a fatal question. Right? Who is that we mentioned yesterday? Maram Rutenberg, right? The Ksos quotes Maram Rutenberg, to whom he has a little bit of sympathy, that maybe this should be enough reason to let the Balabas keep his money because of a chazaka and a day in the Rishonim. But the later poskim did not accept that, didn't say that this day even made the list enough for it to be a kimli, right? Because we would have a problem if we had one strong voice that allowed the Balabas to not pay. So because he's the Muktzah, he could theoretically invoke that one voice because of Kimli. And we discussed yesterday how it doesn't really make the threshold because it's not in Shulchan Aruch, it's not, nor is it quoted by the Sma'ar B'Shach, and it's not even clear that Maharami Rutenberg himself agrees with this because there are conflicting tshuvas. So we don't know if it makes the list or not, but that's one way to approach the question, that is no answer. The question is a good question, there's no answer, and Taka, there's no chiyuv. Let's now assume that there is an answer. So we started to say yesterday that even though normally we say grama is pater, but here this is called garmi. Tosus, see Tosus's phrasing, he doesn't even ask the question. He just kind of skips past the question. Now he calls this garmi, and therefore the question is the other direction. Because it's garmi, you should be chayiv. He asks the whole thing backwards from the way direction we're coming from. We're coming from the Shulchan Aruch, who says chayiv, and you could ask, well, it's grama. No, the answer, no, it's garmi. That's what Tosfos says, but it comes from the opposite direction. Tosfos says, oh, he's already assuming it's garmi, so why are you pater? Well, you're pater because they can't get another job. So it's the inverse, but it's the same point. So we started off asking, and I asked you guys to think about it a little bit today, about why should this be garmi? And then we gave us a little bit of background that grama and garmi, it's confusing, they're very similar terms, that essentially they kind of mean almost the same thing. They mean that there is a causational situation. You cause somebody to lose money, not very directly. But the difference is that grama is pater, and garmi seems to be a little bit more your fault. Enough that you should be chayav. That's the view of Rav Meir, the Tosfos reference, that dina de garmi. So what's the difference in general between Brahma and Garmi in Mizikin outside of the Sugya? As I mentioned yesterday, there are a few differences that are suggested. I mentioned some of them, what they might be, but we can come back to that, but it's just an opening to think about here. So why should this be different? According to these Rishonim who invoke Garmi here, why should this be considered Garmi rather than Brahma? And even without that terminology, why should this be perhaps different? If normally a causational loss isn't liable, why should this be a little bit more liable? Any suggestions?
Again? Depending on how far, if within the Shita or Sosos, it could be that it's not Brahma because there's, I have a hard time saying why it's Garmi, but maybe that there's been some sort of halos has happened here between the Balabais and the Paul, and there's some sort of like, they have some sort of halakhic status of his workers, and he is being, and he's actively being mocked to them by, in a sense, not paying them for what he already agreed to do. In a sense, they had certain rights on the money that he promised them.
So it's more active.
Yeah.
Something makes it more active. So maybe because they have this status, there's some kind of din that's already triggered. That might be true. I think that might probably be a different answer. I don't know if that's what Tosfos is saying. Especially, actually, once we just said a few minutes ago that Tosfos, in general, in this comment, isn't working off of any klalistic poel din.
But Tosfos, could you say that the chalos happens when, once they can no longer find, like, it is weird, because it's kind of like a passive kingdom.
Yeah, I think that svara has validity to it. I just don't know if that's within Tosfos. That's probably a different answer. We'll discuss how maybe there's a second approach within the Rishonim. Let's say, it depends how you want to count. It's called Marmorenberg, is either a non-approach or the first approach, you know, by saying the question is fatal. So if we want to not count him, so let's say this is the first approach. And what you're talking about is similar to a second approach we could talk about. But first, before getting to two, let's go to 1A, 1B, 1C. You have different ways to understand why this would be true. Why would it be a normal mazik kanachi of Brahma, Garmi? These are mazik terms. Right, this means it's a form of nizikin. I have caused you damage. So this should be a category of damage that you're potter for. So why should I distinguish? You could try any type of svar. What would make this in any way different than closing your store door? Michael?
Is there such a thing as a verbal contract in halacha?
Yes, except that's also not necessarily where we're coming from here. Because that may create a personal fear, which may not necessarily be a bezdin kind of context. And also, to the extent that may or may not be true, I also think this is probably outside of the mazik kind of category. So just focusing within this, it's a damage. There are other approaches, like I was saying to Adin, there are other reasons why you might say the balabais is higher. But if you want to work off the language of mazik, brahma, garmi, these are all damages, torts, so to speak. So why should this be a nizikin that you're chayav for, as opposed to the exempted category of the brahma? Ephraim? Did you have your hand up? Sorry, I thought you had your hand up a second ago. Feel free to comment anyway. That one approach you could take is, you know, what exactly is Brahma about? So why should Brahma be Patur? In Hilchos Shabbos, for example, there might be a lot of overlap. So I think we mentioned this yesterday, and those of us who were with us last year, when we learned this concept a little bit in Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chaf, it's also Daf Yomi about a week and a half ago, so if you're holding in that, it's not so long ago, that Grama and Shabbos is Pater, Minai Torah. And defining the term is not so easy because, as we mentioned, there is a concept of Psik Resha on Shabbos, that if I do action A, causes action B. So if it's absolute, if it's Psik Resha, so then I am Chayiv for that. At least it's Aser. So it's hard to say that's what Grama is. So you have to define Grama differently somehow. Right?
Could Grama be the case? I know there's a case in Gavah Kamah, like if you put a ladder next to a chicken coop, next to your like neighbor's chicken coop, and a ferret runs up and like eats the chickens. And in that case, you have like plausible deniability on what you're saying. Like it's not 100% every time that doing that will cause an Zika, but here.
Okay, so that's one possible way to say it, that it's not necessarily definitely going to happen. What may or may not be related to that is also the question of a time delay, that maybe if it's going to happen later as opposed to happen immediately, that's how some define Grama in the context of Shabbos. And why should that make a difference? Who cares about the time delay? So one way of explaining it is because once you put in a delay, anything could go wrong. Anything could happen. If it's not going to happen in a second, and there's some intervening period of time, who knows what could come in and make a difference. Nobody raising hands?
It's not exactly, you could say maybe it's not exactly related to you or to your mindset. It's more just happenstance.
So it, because you, well, that's like a similar to what Adin was saying about plausible deniability. That once it doesn't visually connect, then already you can deny that you provoked it. Which may also all tie into the same challenge, that it could be that once you say that it may not happen, so if it may not happen, so how can you tell me I did it? You know, I did it, and then later on it could happen or it didn't happen, so then it's not totally on anything I did, it's totally on other factors. So all of that may lead to the possibility, and this is an idea you find some of the Achronim using to explain here. It takes a little bit of a leap of faith to accept that this is true, is that you have to say maybe that this is a more definite kind of hezek. That normally grama is not a situation where we really know you're going to bring about the hezek. And here it's pretty much guaranteed. So that takes a little bit of a leap of faith to accept that the metzias is true. And that's something, there's a beautiful sefer which I'll be referring to a lot. It's really a magnificent work. Part of the reason probably is because it's not written by any one machaber. It seems to be written by all machon. But there's a beautiful sefer called Mishpatei Apol, which has a lot to say about everything. So he notes that you have to declare a little bit, if that's really true, that there is this vados element that's more here, that when it comes to, if I lock your store, all right, who knows, maybe no customers would have come that day. Maybe you wouldn't have made any money that day anyway. So maybe I deprived you of money, maybe I didn't. But if I stop you from going out and hiring yourself out as a laborer, as a day laborer, you definitely would have, or you're close enough to definitely would have otherwise gotten work. Now, again, that takes a little bit of a leap of faith. You have to assume the Metzias is correct, and it's questionable, but that is an approach some take, that maybe the issue is, Grama is only putter because there's a question factor, and maybe here the question is not as strong. Frank?
I mean, so then John wanted it. Same thing. I mean, maybe if you were a day laborer, I would have been the only one who offered to hire you.
Correct. You know, that's why, again, that's the leap of faith that...
So then, even without the day, you need to draw the line. Because like, no matter what, anything could happen that doesn't... No matter what, like, even if he had the money in his hand, you know, something could have... Money could have exploded into fire. You know, like nothing.
Right. So you have to have some way of quantifying your variables here. If you remember actually from Psik Resha last year, we even discussed there's even a concept of a Psik Resha that's only a car of Levadai. You know, at some point, we're really dealing with a little bit fuzzy numbers. But somewhere, you have to figure out how to put a number on it that Grama really means that there's only a certain percentage, whatever it is, we don't know exactly how to draw on lines, but let's say it's a 50% chance you're going to lose money because of him. And here, we mean there's a 95% chance. Or we'll say, you know, 90, because less than that is 91%. Less than 10% is sometimes considered halakhically insignificant. So let's say, according to Mishkan Siakha, it's on a Mir HaMatzvi. Let's say 91%. The 91%, I'm just making that up, but maybe that's a possible place to draw the line. The 91% chance you're going to make him lose money, that's something we could be mechayiv for. So even if it's indirect, so then maybe you could put this in that category. So there is such an approach. If you look in the beautiful Sefer Mishpatei HaPolim, see it also has an interesting discussion there. So if you don't hold from this concept, if you don't hold that Grama is chayiv ever, even if it's close to Vadai, so then is there a concept, Latzeis Lidei Shamayim, if you cause somebody a definite loss, but you're off the hook because it's Grama, so then it brings a machlokes, did you pay anyway if you want to be from, if you want to make God happy, should you pay anyways? That's a whole discussion in the poskim lahalacha. But whether you accept the Messias or not, that's one of the suggestions, one of the possible approaches you could take within this approach. The Tosfos calls it Garmi rather than Grama because it's considered to be a more definite kind of loss. Any other kind of avenue you could maybe see here? What else might make this a little bit different? So there are a few other approaches which I'm about to merge into one. Tell me if you think they're all saying the same thing. That when it comes to, again, to use the parallel of the basic terms of Rama and Garmi, that some Rishonim suggest, the Gemara's appear in the second parak of Bava Kamma where this whole discussion comes up, that Grama is, I trigger an action here and it causes a problem over there. But if I do something to the object itself that's getting broken, even if it's a little bit indirect, so that's called Garmi rather than Grama, and then I could be chayav for that, theoretically. So now, is there a case to be made that here I am acting on the damaged item more directly than otherwise? Think about that for a second. Is there a way to say that? Yes?
I mean, as opposed to saying you're affecting the customers, I guess, in the locking up the store example, as opposed to affecting the guy himself by actually detaining him in your space.
Yeah, so what it seems to build on along those lines is that the worker himself is the asset. And that is something that makes a much more direct hezek. That if I deprive you of your tools, or of your store, or of your customers, or all kinds of external things, so that's causational. But if I deprive you of yourself, I tied you up elsewhere, and now you can't use yourself to make money. Maybe that's like the guf ha-chefetz that we find in the Rishonim in the second parak of Bava Kamma, that's not grama, that's garmi. Also, by the way, a distinction you find in Hilchos Shabbos, that there are some who say that the reasons you're sometimes chayiv and sometimes pater in a psik reisha kind of situation will depend on whether you acted on the item that does the malach itself or whether you acted on something else. So to here, this opens up a whole fascinating line of thinking that you could say that the worker, being the one who produces the profit himself, is the gufa chefetz, and therefore if you stop him from working, so that's something much more significant than depriving him of any item, whether it's his store or his car or anything else that he could have used to make a profit. The Aruch HaShulchan has a language which sounds a little bit like that. I'm not sure if that's what he's saying. You can take a look. It's over there in Shimon Megimel. He talks about Gufa Isek. Maybe that's what he means. Now, there is another concept. Here's where I'm saying that maybe possibly merging different ideas together. You could either take this as a different answer or maybe the same answer. That there are some who say that we find that the Torah treats a poel in a way that's very serious. The Torah has all kinds of chiyuvim relating to a poel, and it basically reflects the fact that the poel, the damage is much more profound than any other type of monetary damage. If I break any item in the world that belongs to somebody, so then I'm causing him a loss. But if I prevent him from working, so then I am, in essence, depriving him of his literally livelihood, of his ability to survive. That too long in this situation, he's literally going to die. That to deprive somebody of their ability to use their time to make a daily labor, that is a much more direct type of hezek. And it reflects the fact that when it comes to a poel, we find other halachas such as lo solin, that we have to pay promptly on a daily basis. So we find certain chumras the Torah has towards a poel in recognition of the fact that this is essentially his essence that he is putting forward in order to survive, and therefore a bittul in that sense is a much more profound hezek than any other type of deprivation. Any other, even if you broke something, it's less profound, but certainly if you held back something, deprived them of access to something, so that is less profound than if you keep them from using themselves. So you could possibly put all these approaches in the same pot and say it's all about the idea that this is much different than what we normally potter. And as some of the poskim invoke the example, this is not like locking up somebody's store. This is like locking the polo inside the store, and he works in a different store. So in such a situation, maybe you're potter for locking up his store, but you'd be chayev for locking him in a different space, locking him in the closet. That would be a different type of situation, and you would be chayev for that. Jonathan?
I understand that idea that we just connected to what we said before, that it's more about him being sort of, as opposed to any other door closing or anything else, but why would that make a difference whether or not we treat him in more stringently than other damages?
Because maybe the idea of grama is that, along the lines that we were saying before, about in general we find a distinction between grama and garmi, and if these answers happen to parallel as far as you find in the Rishon in the second paragraph of Bava Kamma in terms of distinguishing between the two. And so we find that there's a type of indirect damage that you're pater for, but yet there is a type that you're a little bit more chayev, and that's what we call garmi. So what makes something garmi rather than grama? So what Svari mentioned is whether it's definitely going to happen or it's only possible. So that correlates to the first answer we just gave in this context, that maybe the damage is more definite. That required a leap of faith to say so. But the other svara that we mentioned in Grama and Garmi is that Garmi is when you're acting on the item itself. That if I broke object A and it led to object B breaking, so that would be Grama. But if I did something to action to object A and caused it indirectly to break, that would be called Garmi. So maybe here also that distinction is relevant, that I'm not simply causing him to lose out on profits, I am causing the profit maker himself, him the essence of the ability to make a living, I am acting on that and tying it up somewhere else. Maybe that's a more profound chiyuv, which comes from two directions at the same time, because he is the core of what he can use to make money, and also because his livelihood, his literal existence is so tied into that ability. For both those factors acting together, you could say that this is something that you're chai while you would otherwise be pater. Nathaniel?
Is there a hava meaning for why that would ever be pater for doing the garmi?
So the hava meaning would seem to be that still it seems causational still. Since I'm still not taking a sledgehammer and breaking something directly, so maybe that's the only time I should be chai. But we see that there is room to distinguish. Maybe that's where you start off with. You start off with the idea that the grum of Nezikin is pater. So we have to figure out where the exceptions are carved out. So it seems like a good basis to make an exception. Before we run out of time, I find this to be a fascinating sugi. I hope you agree. But there are still many other approaches we have to discuss. But just within one, so one you saw 1A, 1B, 1C, so there's another mahalach you could take, which if you saw the Ksos, and the Ksos invokes this idea in the consideration that he should be chayiv, that maybe there's a clue from the Torah that this should be different. Anyone know what I'm talking about? What's a possible clue from the Torah that this maybe has a different rule? Well, we know that there is a concept of the hei dvarim for chavala. Right, if I hurt somebody personally, so we know that I am chayiv for five different things. So one of them is called sheves. What does sheves mean? Right, workers' comp, basically the time he missed working. So essentially there is a clue in the Torah that if I cause somebody to be unable to work, I have to pay him for that.
Right? That's all, but like, you could easily say that that's in a case where you do direct damage, but just...
So you're the Rama. So Shmuel himself quotes the Rama and says that, yeah, that would only be if you do direct damage, but if you indirectly cause the situation, maybe it's not true. So the Ksos plays both sides of this, essentially. He mentions this possibility that Sheves may be the key factor, and he also notes there are reasons to disagree. Just before we run out of time, so there are those who raise other objections to using the Sheves model. So you could basically say that essentially Torah extends the principle of Chavala into Sheves, which a little bit would recategorize it. Chavala and Nezek are basically the same idea, just Nezikin applies to objects and Chavala applies to people. And there are some different rules, but they're basically two halves of the same issue, and they're both together there in Bava Kamma. Kabbalah gets its own parak, but they're basically parallel tracks. So for what whatever difference it makes, if you want to invoke Shadas here, so you're really saying it's not the Nezikin, it's Chavala, that the Chiyuv that comes out of the Chavala is what is the current, is the dominant factor here. So I didn't point that out again. Well, but it's not Chavala. Maybe it's only if I actually hurt you, then I should have such a din. Maybe that's not the case here. A fair point. There are some other points that are raised. Just quickly mention one or two, and then we'll have to continue again tomorrow. We're doing Parsha because Thursday is Ribbis, so we'll have to continue this sugya on Monday. So try to remember everything Chazar well, so you're able to hold cup on all different things we talk about. But one objection that Asivis raises against the Ksos is that Sheves should only apply for the time that you are injured. So if you want to parallel it to, let's say, locking somebody in a closet, you want to say it's comparable. So it should only apply for the time that you are locked in the closet. Not if I let you out of the closet, let's say I lock you in the closet for half a day, and I let you out at lunchtime, but now at lunchtime you already can't get any more work because I gave out all the work in the morning, so you're losing the whole day's work. So still, Shavas would only apply to the first half of the day, the part that you were actually prevented from working because of what I did. So then, that's where you have the Chi of Shavas. But right, but the point, the part of the day that you don't have a job because you didn't get one earlier because you were locked up, that wouldn't be right. That wouldn't. So that model would break down a little bit here, or at least be very limited. And that would also be a big difference between the two things Tosfos lumped together, between Holchu and they simply can't get another job, because hopefully they actually have to spend time doing. So then maybe during that time you would be chayv. It was all about Shabbos. There is another important point that the Mishpatei HaChoshen raises, that in general, b'zman hazeh, so we know that we have a limit to what Beis Din does. That Mikra Adin, for Beis Din to function, you need smuchin, you need dayanim who have smicha coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. So nowadays, we don't have that. So the dayanim who function are not real smuchim. So they work on a different level. The Gemara calls it shluch l'sayu, the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says there's two rules for what they do. A lot of things they can't do, but there are two rules for what they can do. One is it has to be something relatively common, the shchiach, but the other is that it has to be mammon as opposed to knas. That they, Beis Din, today will deal with matters of absolute monetary correlation. In other words, I broke your stuff, I stole your stuff, I borrowed money for you, I worked for you, normal money that correlates to a real obligation. But a knas, like we read about so much in this past week's parsha, Beis Din will not do. So for example, Beis Din will not impose kefil b'zman hazeh, because kefil is a knas. So if I stole something, so I have to give it back, Beis Din will force me to give it back or pay for the item, a contemporary Beis Din. But it won't make me pay kefil, because kefil is a knas. So when it comes to the five dvarim that's associated with chavala, it's actually a split and a machlokas, which are mammon and which are knas. So Beis Din does not do all of them today, and some of the five are subject to a machlokas. So when it comes to Sheves, it's actually a machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And the Ramah says that we don't do Sheves b'zman hazeh. So if that's the case, and you're going to tell me this whole din is Hilchos HaMashiach, this din doesn't apply to b'zman hazeh, it's only going to apply when there is a Beis HaMikdash and they restore smuchin and we go back to the whole system, that's very hard to believe. So that's a technical issue also, that if you're going to tie this in too much to Shabbos, we're also going to be tied into the Machlokas HaRishonim, the Machlokas Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, about whether or not Shabbos is invoked today. So that's also a big technical problem about tying this into Shabbos. So just very quickly, what did we just see? So we saw this whole concept of Grama. I have a lot more to say about this, but this whole concept of why this should be Garmi rather than Grama, to use Tosfos' words, why is it more of an absolute chiyuv rather than causational? Basically three approaches, either because it's a more definite type of hezek, or because it's a more direct hezek in the sense that you're going to the source of income and that's the livelihood literally of that person. Or third, maybe there's a chiddush of the Torah, since we see that Sheves exists as a concept of Chavala, so maybe that's what's at play here as well, opening yourself up to the objections as noted, that maybe it only applies if you're mazik the person himself, maybe it should only apply to the time that you were actually tied up, and that maybe you should get yourself into the whole machlokas about whether Sheves is collected with manazah or not. Okay, so I'm going to see you early tomorrow morning, and our varied schedule.